The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
This is Susanna Cruz, and I am from Chicago, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
Hi, Mike and Michelle. This is Rick P. from Crystal Lake, Illinois, and just want to say that I just love the Mickey Miles Podcast. Keep doing what you're doing.
I'm Teresa Kometz from Portland, Michigan, and I listen to Mickey Miles as I train.
I'm John Kometz, and I listen to Mickey Miles while she trains.
Hi, I'm Joe Laszlo from Atlanta, Georgia, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast. Roll Tide.
My name is Maggie. I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 512 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on the show today is Chris Eliopoulos. Michelle is still away, and we'll be back for the next show. And on this show, we will be, Chris and I, will be continuing our little discussion that concerns Run Disney and some of the things that we've been noticing over the past year or so. So without further ado, let's get back to the show.
It's very hard, and a lot of first-time runners recognize the issues when they bring their families to either California or Florida to run these races, because especially in January, if you're doing Goofy or Dopey, or even just two of the races, or even the first three, it's not the same kind of a vacation. You need to get up early every day. You need to get to bed early every day, every night. Well, guess what? The kids want to see the fireworks. Well, we can't do the fireworks and get up at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning, and plus the expense of bringing a family down. So I think a lot of people who had done these races with their family, I think they're one and done, or very rarely will, you know, you've got the mom or the dad are going to go down, and the rest, and you know, whoever's left stays behind with the children or whatever. Yeah. It's just becoming more, I think it's becoming more and more of a challenge for Run Disney to bring in the new runners, the new blood. And I think that for the most part, they depended on a portion of the registrations from returning, but they also were looking towards the new runners. And there's a lot of competition out there. There's a lot of races that people can go to and spend about half as much to get there. Yeah. So I think that what they are, Chris, is that they're at a crossroads. I think that there are going to be some decisions that need to be made. And if you look at the 10 races that they have, maybe it's time for them to start thinking about some changes. Maybe they need to change them a little bit. They're limited in Disneyland because of the way that park is situated. They got to be really careful what they do there. And I think they're just stuck. They're just stuck with what they can do there. Yeah. However, when we talk in Florida, there's all kinds of things they can do. They own the property. They can have a race at any time of the night, any time of the year that they think it would be safe for runners. And maybe it's time for them to start looking at different themes. Who knows? They could be an Avatar theme someday. That might be coming up, you know, and that would be something that, if I was to guess, I think that would replace Expedition Everest, a race that used to be run in, I want to say, March, but I'm not sure. That could be something down the road. I think that the Star Wars and the superheroes, which is the Marvel and Avengers, I think that those are going to stick. I think that those have some legs. And I think that the January one has legs. The Princess one has legs. Disney Wine and Dine, they changed that last year. They moved that to the daytime. So and that worked well. We both know that when they slap inaugural on a race, that really does the job. So
brings everybody out.
Yeah, so I think we're at a crossroads. I think over the next 2 years, we might see some changes. I think that the question is, what is the threshold that will need to be crossed in order for them to decide it's time to make a change?
Do you think they're quiet now because they're maybe revamping everything? Like they're kind of getting everything down to the nuts and bolts and rebuilding?
I know that what they want to do is they don't want to be they don't want to jump ahead of the game and make any announcements before they've crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's. I think that they are looking at the entire menu of races and deciding what they're going to do in the next year. I think they have short term and long term plans. And I think that that they are in the process of making plans, but we won't hear of them till probably January. I think January seems to be a time where they would like to make an announcement. I think that there are things in the works. I think that they might have race weekends planned, and they are looking at how these race weekends go, and once they feel that there's one that's kind of faltering, they may say, you know, it's time to make a change. But I think there are some untouchables here. You know, I think that January is untouchable. I think that the Princess Half Marathon weekend is untouchable. After that, I'm not sure. I would say the next ones that would be untouchable might be either the Star Wars races or the Wine and Dine. Wine and Dine did really well last year. I think they want to see how well it works this year. I think that's one that they need to look at too.
And I'm wondering if they do decide to get rid of the light side, are they just going to rebrand the Florida race to just be the Star Wars Half Marathon, not be a light side or dark side, and turn that, you know, because then it turns into a whole new thing.
I think that that's going to depend upon how the challenge registrations go. I think that's obviously when you introduce like the challenges, that adds a new wrinkle, and so that will draw the runners back. That's what draws us back. That's what's drawing you guys. That's what drew me last year. I said, well, let me do the superheroes. Let me do the marathon weekend, then I'll go to the light side, and then I'll do the dark side. That was a carrot. I think that those challenges are carrots. I think they have to change them, or they have to tweak them. They have to present something that's very tantalizing to the runners. I've often talked about, wouldn't it be nice to start races at midnight instead of 6 o'clock in the morning? How about taking, I don't think they'd ever do this. How about taking Dopey and Goofy and reverse them? You know, start with a marathon first. How would people challenge that? Right. So, but as a runner, I mean, you know what it takes to do Goofy and Dopey. How would you approach it if the marathon was first? You see,
yeah, that's a whole new thing. But that also limits people. I think they're trying to get as many people involved as possible. I think the problem is that they need to figure out a way to lower costs and still provide an experience that people want to pay to come see. And that's what they're having issues with right now. The prices are too high. We've seen the last few races. Which race was it? Was it Tinkerbell the last time where everybody was complaining because there was no theme? There was like nothing. There were no characters. There was nothing going on.
Yes.
And so you wonder, like, what are their plans here? I mean, I can understand why the rumors would be that they might get rid of that one because they seem to have neglected it when it was actually running. So
their success was due to word of mouth. Their success was because people who ran said, oh, this was great. The theming was great. I mean, everybody used to talk about the Tara Tara because that was the best themed race of all of them. You can talk to me till the cows come home, but I can tell you that the Tara Tara race, that's the most fun to do. And I think that word of mouth not only works in a positive way, but it also works in a negative way for a race director. And We have many friends. We have a lot of people who we know who run these races. And we talked about Tinkerbell Half Marathon. I had some friends who were there, and they were very disappointed. It was like their last race, Disney race, for their bucket list. But a lot of them said, I'm done, I'm done, I'm done. It wasn't worth it. There were no characters and all that other stuff. And they were talking about the whole weekend. And I think that Disney has to keep that in mind. So as we come up to the Disneyland Half Marathon weekend, it's not really have a special theme. You know, we'll see what happens there. Problem with the California races, though, is that they're off the property a lot.
Yeah.
They don't have the luxury of having it on the property in Florida. But by the same token, you know, the last couple of Florida races haven't been, received too well. Nothing's been going on since the light side in April, but it's coming up. We've got, you know, a lot of races coming up, so we'll see what happens. But I think that word of mouth is going to play a big part, and I think everybody is saying, I'm going to hold out this year. I'm going to see what's going on.
Yeah.
I think that when the Tinkerbell Marathon weekend came out and everybody was reading about what was going on, I really felt that when word got out about the experiences for that weekend, that I think the registrations for all the weekends took a big hit.
Yeah.
I think they took a big hit, and I think it took a while. It took about a month, maybe 6 weeks, for the Run Disney people who monitor this to see that. And they might be saying, we need to go back to the drawing board and make sure that we're okay for the rest of this year, for the rest of the next 12 months. So,
yeah. Could you imagine the people who their first Disney run, they were excited to go to Disney, and their first run was Tinkerbell, and it was just so disappointing that you would assume that they would not want to come back. They killed off so many potential new multiple race runners.
It's like talking about, it's like talking about an attraction or something going on down in Walt Disney World, and you spend all your money, you get there, and it's a bit of a disappointment. There was a person, I don't know if it was a woman, who was all excited about bringing her son, I think it was, to California for his first Disney race weekend. And I think he might have been a teenager, and they were running. They ran the Tinkerbell Challenge, of whatever that was, a couple of races, and they saw hardly anything. And she said, I spent a lot of money to go cross country, and I spent a lot of money, and I took him out of school and everything, and it just didn't meet up to my expectations, and I had heard so much about other races. That's one of the problems that you run into when you have a history of good PR.
Yeah, good rep.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, there's a weekend and there's a drop in the quality of the race weekend experience. That can negate all the previous years, positive and all the wonderful descriptions of what had happened. You can have 5 years in a row. Boy, this Disney Princess Half Marathon weekend was great, great, great. And then you have one that people say it was poorly themed. I didn't get to see any characters. It was this, it was that. They will take a hit, and I think they've taken a hit with Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, like I said, I'm hoping that they're like kind of sitting in their little cubby holes and trying to figure out a new launch here and sort of rebuild the brand, because it's really getting tarnished, I think. The whole idea of going was like it was a destination that you – it was like – it used to be the way Disneyland and Disney World used to be. It was like everybody saved up their money to finally get to go down to the park and enjoy like that one time. And now, people are sort of going, well – if I'm going all the way down there and making all these plans, I'm spending all this money, and it's not living up to anything that I thought it was going to be, why would I ever want to go back again? So they got to really start looking in the mirror here and figure out what's going on.
I think they have to do several things. Number one, they have to be consistent with the registrations. Registrations in the past usually opened up 9 months ahead of time. I think that should be a rule for them. 9 months from the day we're going to open up registrations for this race weekend. That's number one. Number two, I understand costs go up. I understand that it takes a lot of money to run a race, but they do have a lot of volunteers, you know, and
which they have to pay now.
Which they have to pay in California. But I don't think that any of us would complain about the price going up, except that the services that we're getting are going down. And that's what happened. That was definitely shown with Tinkerbell because it wasn't the same. Prices are going to go up, but you know, if I get the same service every year, if the price goes up, I'm fine. But if the price goes up and the experience goes down, then there's an issue. And I think, again, if that happens once, I think they take a hit. So they have to maintain the level of service and excitement, regardless of what they do with the prices. Number three, I think that they need to, and they do this, they do change the medals every year. But I also think they need to think about tweaking the races and changing them somehow. And maybe it's time for them to reach out to the runners and say, what would you like to see? Because everybody who's running these days are looking for a new experience. They're looking for a challenge. They're looking for ways to test themselves. And I think that Disney needs to tap that type of energy. They need to tap that curiosity. Gee, could I run back-to-back half marathons? Could I run back-to-back marathons? Can I run a 30-mile race? Can I run a race that starts at midnight? Could I run a 5K and a 10K on the same day? I don't know. I'm just throwing things out there, Chris. I think that they need to spice it up. They need to be consistent, but spice it up.
But they also have to just kind of go back to them, what got people here in the beginning. Like, they sort of have to go back to basics. They have to provide more. They have to make this thing something that people want to go to no matter what. Like, I think they've fallen into the trap of, well, we can provide less. Nobody seems to notice there's a downgrade except for us that have been doing this for, you know, how many years. They need to sort of build that stuff up again. I know it's, you know, trying to maximize profits on this stuff. But, I mean, you know, how much is enough? You know, they're getting you with the – I mean – when they changed over to where you have to come in for registration, you can't mail it in. So now all of a sudden people have to be there extra days to make sure that they go to the expo and get their bib in time. So you've got extra days in hotel stay, extra restaurant visits, you know, all that kind of stuff. They're making a lot of money on these weekends. They wouldn't be doing it if they weren't making a lot of money. And I think they need to go back and remember why people started doing this stuff, which was to have a really good run through the parks, get to see all this kind of cool stuff, get pictures with characters, and make it cost effective for somebody to want to come down. I think right now they've priced themselves out of having people come back more and more every year, except for the people that are just so diehard they have to go and they're willing to spend all this money.
We don't want to overlook two other major points here, and that is that within the last year and a half, we've seen some policy changes. You cannot pick up a bib for someone else. You also cannot be guaranteed that if you are in danger of making the trip that you can defer. I think that those two are huge. And I think that registrations have taken a hit because it's one of those deals where, wait a minute, I don't know if I want to commit to time and money if I, at the last minute I can't cancel and get my money back. Or I decided that I'm not going to do this extra race or I'm not going to do it because I have to pick up my bib. My friend was going to pick up my bib for me, and I can't get down there Wednesday or Thursday. I can only get down there Friday night for Saturday's race. And you know, they really make it difficult for you to pick up the bib on the day of the race, I can tell you. As much as what people say, oh, it's easy, it's a pain in the neck. So I think that those two points, I didn't want to overlook those two points, but I think they're big in terms of the hit that the program took. And the thing is that usually what's kind of unusual about this, Chris, is that for the legacy of the Walt Disney Company is that they know that if they can do things that would make the guests' experience as special as possible, they'll return. They want return business. That's how any business becomes successful, is to make sure that their customers come back. Instead of bringing us back, they're pushing us away.
Yeah, right? Wasn't it like we plus things to make the people want to come back, that we give them a little extra? Now it seems to be the opposite feeling. And look, I'm not trying to bash. We all love going to do these races. We have a podcast about it. But it's like when you see, you know, it's the difference between being a kid and showing love to your parent and, you know, unconditionally, and you love them no matter what, and then also being an adult and looking at love a different way. I love them, but I know they can be so much better. And they seem to be trying to push people away with all of these rules and regulations and the way they, you know, are telling people you're not gonna be able to defer. You book this thing. I don't care if you break your leg, you know. And they do make exceptions. Of course they do that. We've heard stories where people have said, you know, I told them I injured myself and I can't go. And they kind of said, well, all right, let's work it out for you. But they don't want to do that. So you kind of just, you know, you feel like they're just not purposely, but they, you know, they're looking for the bottom line and they're not thinking about really what makes it special, which is making the runners happy and want to come back. So, you know, I hope they have like a come to Jesus moment and they realize that they need to really reconsider the path that they're on right now.
The other thought, and this is a long shot thought, is that there could be some kind of transition going on right now between Run Disney and Active.com, and maybe there's a transition involving Active.com no longer being involved and Disney doing their own stuff. If that's the case, I can understand that they would not announce it until all the issues were ironed out and all the contracts were taken care of and whatever, and they could be saying, starting with the light side, you know. But that just still doesn't make any sense because the race weekends that follow the light side, I mean, the light side?
Light side.
They're ongoing. So what is it about that weekend? So,
well, the only thing I can think of is they're both out in Disneyland, and the problem they had with the Tinkerbell was the fact that they had to pay volunteers. And I'm wondering if they feel like they lost a lot of money and they're kind of saying it's not worth it to have all of these little runs that maybe not everybody goes to. We can't make enough money on it. So they're going to do one big marathon so that they can get it all in one fell swoop. You know, because bottom line, it always comes down to money, I think.
That might be the case. So we don't know what's going on with the Disneyland half marathon weekend. We would assume that
they have to pay people, right? I mean, they made that choice. So I'm wondering if they're going to have problems. Are they going to be less themed and kind of a little bit shifted?
Wow.
For the people that go, I'd love to hear anybody that's going. I want to hear, you know.
And that was an issue too with May, if you remember the Tinkerbell half.
Yeah.
We talked with Lee and Laura, and a couple of my friends who ran said the same thing. The volunteer experience was not the same from a runner's perspective. So,
right. So I'm wondering if they're going to start doing the same thing for the half marathon weekend as well.
That's going to be a very interesting weekend to see what kind of.
Call them back up. Tell them we need all the scoops.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful beyond all of this that they're going to come around and really figure this all out and reorganize and sort of remember what worked when they first did this and get back there and provide the kind of weekends that we've come to know that they can do and stop worrying so much about every dollar.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, which is stupid for a company. A company is always going to look out for the money. It's kind of crazy to even suggest it, but you know, if they want to keep this going, they really need to sort of come back and pull back a little bit.
The Disneyland half marathon weekend is only a few weeks away, so we'll soon find out what's going on with that.
Yeah, it should be interesting to hear, and then compare it in January as well to see if anything changes up there.
So we'll see. If hoping Lee and Laura, I believe, are going to be running that. We'll find someone who's run that. And when Michelle comes back, we'll have them talk to us about what happened with that race weekend. And, of course, the volunteer experience. And we'll see what happens. So I guess that's it, Chris, unless we have anything else we can talk about on this series. Well,
I'll give you one more tip. One last to say goodbye with is our home hotel this time around, as always, is the Yacht Club, and we love to go to the Cruise Cup, and we have a nightcap or we have a little dinner or something sometimes if we don't have a reservation. Wonderful bartender there named Diana, who we've come to know and love. Really wonderful person to sit and talk to. I always get big hugs when I come see her. She made us she mentioned she had created a new drink. It was a s'mores martini. And she was telling us all about it. And I said, all right, maybe next time we come in, we'll try it. And she actually went off and she made a drink for us. And she gave us the drink to try it out. And it's actually very, really good. It's amazing. So if you're ever over in the Cruise Cup and you want to try something different, ask Diana for a s'mores martini. It's really good.
S'mores
Tell
martini.
Them Chris sent you.
Okay, yeah. I will. So far, Diana of the Cruise Cup Lounge. And did you ever have the truffle fries there?
Well, that was the other thing too. Because they're under construction. Sorry, they're under construction. So when we went there, they've been using the Yachtsman Steakhouse kitchen, to prepare. So their food wasn't always ready, and they didn't have certain things. But the burgers were really, really good because they were using different meats for the hamburgers. So I hope they keep those, and they're cooking them on the open grill. My kids were in heaven with the burgers there. They wanted to stop going to all the other restaurants to have the burgers there. But once the restaurants are back up and everything in the Yacht Club is fixed up again, we might be going back to the old stuff. So they don't have the truffle fries right now because they don't make fries.
Construction everywhere.
Everywhere. So they're redoing the Cape May, I think. Is it the Cape May? What's the one? No.
Cape May Cafe? The Captain's Grill?
Grill is closed.
Wow.
The Ale and Compass was closed. It was all under construction. Got there for the new. Is it the Allen? Which is the marketplace now? They opened up in the Yacht Club, so we got all our food over there, and they opened up the. So it was interesting.
Hey Chris, one last thing: did you guys perchance try the Skipper Canteen in Adventureland in Magic Kingdom?
No, we didn't. I passed it and I said, oh, I got to remember to do that, but I did not do it.
Okay. I think
next time I'll have to try it. Maybe it'll take me up in January.
I don't think you missed it.
Now you don't want to go? Yeah, I don't remember you guys saying you liked it that much.
Yeah, I won't go back.
Okay. See, I always listen. You always have the best advice.
Well, I try to be honest and I try to say, this is how I feel. But I also give a caveat that says, and we used to do this on WDW Today podcast shows. We used to talk about Not So Scary, and we used to talk about Mickey's Very Merry. And we used to talk about this and that, but we always said at the end, we think you should try it. So there may be something there for everybody. So just
give it a shot.
Yeah, give it a shot. So far, Chris Eliopoulos and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and end in the parks. Bye-bye.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. And we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.